They wear out pretty quick, don't they? As I thought about, as we look toward the next year and how God has been so good to us and how that today God has blessed us so abundantly, some things I'd like to do in the new year. Some things that I'd like to have in my own life in the new year. And so I begin to think about those things, and I thought about this verse of Scripture that I read here in your hearing this morning, and you know, I think what all of us need, and I know that I need today in many ways, is a greater passion for God. Paul here is talking, and he says that everything that we do, no matter what it is, we're to do it heartily. That is, this morning we're to do it with enthusiasm this morning. You know, when you begin to read the Bible, most of us begin to read of the great men of the faith. The Bible, we are introduced to Adam, and we're introduced to Enoch, and then we're introduced to Noah. We find then Abraham, the man that was called the friend of God. What a glorious title that is, to be called the friend of God. Of course, we find Moses, who was the great leader that God chose to bring his people from Egyptian bondage into the promised land. Following, of course, Moses was the great general Joshua, who fought the battles and brought the Israelites into that land this morning. We read about David and his great exploits as the king of Israel, and how that he defeated Goliath, and how that God this morning called him a man after his own heart. We read this morning about many of those others this morning in the Old Testament, and we turn to the New Testament, and of course we're introduced to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and of course Brother Peter, who was always the big fisherman, who was always there with the Lord. Sometimes he made outrageous talk, but he became a fixture for the Lord, became a great man of God. Of course, we this morning know about James and Paul this morning, who wrote most of the New Testament, and Barnabas this morning, and many others that we could talk about in the Bible today. Well, we could say the Lord really used them, didn't he? But you know, when you begin to read the Scripture, there are many men that are not mentioned that God used. There's a passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And of course, that's God's hall of faith. And as you read through that hall of faith, it mentions many of those that we've already talked about this morning. But we find that in verse 35 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, women received their dead that raised to life again. But then notice what he said, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You read that and you begin to think that God used a lot of people that we know nothing of today. You find in the book of Philippians, Paul mentions a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Most of us have never heard of him, but Paul called him a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier. You read the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, and Paul there mentions several people of whom that you and I have never heard. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul, as he wrote that church and as he talked to them, he said something very important to them this morning that maybe we should take heart to. You see, he said in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised as God's chosen, yea, in things which are not to bring to naught things at all. Now, boy, we read about men of greatness, giants of the faith. I used to read about old Billy Sunday and used to thunder and wonder how it would have been a great preacher like Billy Sunday. Dwight Moody, who served the Lord on two continents and moved masses for Christ. Charles Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers. Mordecai Ham and W.A. Criswell and in our time, Adrian Rogers. What great men of faith they were and what giants of the pulpit they were this morning, delivering the message of God to thousands upon thousands and seeing many one to the Lord. But you know what really God wants for each of us today? The same thing He wants for everybody. He wants us to serve Him right where we are. He wants us to do what we do. And He wants us to do it heartily with enthusiasm this morning. Several years ago, I was pastoring another church, and one Sunday morning, I had some folks come in, and I knew they'd come from another church that was right up the road. And after service, I was inquisitive, I guess, of why they were there. And one of them told me their preacher got up that morning, looked out over the crowd, said he wouldn't preach to that smaller crowd, and walked out. And I thought, well, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? That's pretty arrogant. Kind of like the preacher that worked up a great sermon on pride but never got a big enough crowd to preach it to, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter this morning if it's a small congregation or a large congregation. God put us there, didn't He? God put me here, and I'm to serve the Lord here with enthusiasm. I'm to do it heartily this morning. See, I'd like to be a better pastor. You know, I really would. I don't know that I always do everything that I need to do as a pastor, and I know that sometimes I probably don't do it with the enthusiasm that I need to do it with today. But I'd like to be a better pastor and a better preacher this morning, and I think for this coming year, 2013, my motto is going to be that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That whatever I do, I want to do it with enthusiasm. I want to know that I'm serving the Lord of glory this morning. I just want to be part of what God's doing today. Isn't that good? Just to be a part of what the Lord's doing. You ever thought about how wonderful that is today? Part of building the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing. You know, somebody may be this morning building a great part of the kingdom, but God has got us here to build a small part, maybe. One part's just as important as the other. One thing I have discovered in life today is that there are no small people with God. And so, this morning, that as we're building the temple of God and as we're building the kingdom of God and as God today is working in this world, I just want to be a part of it today. Whether it's teaching or whether it's praying or whether it's singing today, every aspect today of our life, let's do it for the Lord this morning. Kind of like the fellows that I heard about that one day a man passed by a construction site and he saw this man over there and he was putting together some metal, and he walked over and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting beams together." "What does it look like I'm doing?" And I said, "Oh, well, I just wondered what you was doing." And he walked a little further over, and here was this man. He was nailing a very beautiful looking cabinet together, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building cabinets." "What does it look like I'm doing?" The man said, "Well, I just wondered." Walked a little further over, and here was a man making stained glass, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm building some windows here. What does it look like I'm doing?" Well, this is as far to leave. This guy come walking by the wheelbarrow. He said, had it full of trash and rubbish. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Man, we're building a cathedral." You know, it doesn't matter if you're just pushing the wheelbarrow, does it? It doesn't matter today if we're pushing the wheelbarrow or with a job superintendent, whatever we are. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're working on the kingdom of God. You think about that today. I thought about this one time, and I've thought about it a lot, you know. We're always worried about the important jobs, but have you ever thought about where we would be if nobody ever picked up the garbage? Well, that'd be a mess, wouldn't it? That'd be a stinking mess. God's got us in a place. We want to do it with enthusiasm. With today, we want to do it heartily. Whatever we do, wherever God has placed us, and whatever the Lord wants us to do, let's do it with enthusiasm. Let's have a greater passion for the Lord in the next year. And then, you know, we really need to have a greater purpose sometime. The Apostle Paul is one book over in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. He says in verses 13 and 14, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul said, "I hadn't reached where I want to be yet. I haven't got there yet. I haven't arrived." You know, sometimes folks think they've arrived. They're at the pinnacle. You know, Paul said, "I hadn't got there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I haven't got there yet, but I'm pressing toward the goal. I'm headed for the end zone this morning." You know, I remember several years ago, I had always heard that most football plays were not designed to score touchdowns. Now, I knew this one particular coach, and I just walked up to him one day, and I said, "Coach, I got one question I'd like to ask you. You've been very successful." And he said, "Well, okay, I'll answer anything I can." I said, "Well, how many plays in your playbook are designed to score touchdowns?" He said, "Every one of them." I said, "What?" He said, every time we got the ball, I want to score a touchdown on that play. I said, "Well, I guess that's pretty good then." Now I got to thinking about that. That's what their goal is, isn't it? You know? Like the two fellas were sitting in the stands one day, and they were about to kick the ball off on the kickoff, the opening kickoff, and one looked over at the other one, and he said, "I'll bet you $5 that guy runs for a touchdown on the kickoff." The guy said, "Well, that's pretty good odds. I'll take that." So they kicked the ball off, and the guy grabbed it, run about 20 yards, and they tackled him all piled up. The guy said, "Pay me." He said, "Pay you? He didn't run for a touchdown." He said, "Well, what was he running for?" "I didn't say he's going to make it. I said he's going to run for it." You ever thought about that? That's what Paul is saying here. "I hadn't got there yet." And he said, "I've been knocked down a lot of times. I done forgot about all that. I'm just going to get up and go on again." Paul said, "I'm headed for the goal. I've got a great purpose in life. God's got something for me to do, and I want to get there this morning." Sometimes we need goals. When I was a young preacher many years ago, just starting out, a fellow told me, he said, "Well, you don't need to set goals. Those are just man-made things. And goals are something that you don't really need to set. You just need to follow the Lord and as the Lord directs." And, you know, I thought, well, that's great wisdom. In some ways it was, but one day I was reading in the Scripture and I came across a verse of Scripture that it kind of rattled me just a little bit. I want you to listen to what it said in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 25. It said, "The ants are a people not strong." The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And you know, the verse before that says, but they are, talked about them being exceedingly wise. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. You know, most people, we don't do it quite as much as we used to, but when I was a boy growing up, and many of you still do the same thing, and I do a lot of it too. You know, in the summertime, we plant gardens. We gather the harvest. What do we do that for? We put it in a freezer. We can it. We used to put the meat in the salt. Why did we do that? So we'd have something to eat during the wintertime when we couldn't grow anything, wasn't it? We made a plan. We had a goal. We didn't want to starve to death this winter. Somebody said, "Well, what happened if you died before winter got here?" Well, God changed the plan. I understand that. But just in case he didn't change it, I decided I wanted something to eat. Now listen to me. We are to follow, and God will direct us. I understand that. And sometimes my plans might not be exactly what they should have been. And I might have missed the Lord somewhere down the road. I'm not going to say that this morning. But see, when we prepare for winter, when we prepare it, we got somewhere, the direction that we're going this morning. We need to have a plan and a goal. And God sometimes has got our goal there. And he says, we need to just serve him. We need to press toward the mark of the high call. You know, the number one thing that people have a problem doing, Paul said right here, notice what he said in verse number 13. He said, forgetting. You know, the hardest thing to do sometimes is to forget. Unless your wife sees you, gives you six items to get at Walmart and you forget four of them, okay? You know, we can forget things on a grocery list, or we can forget things of like of that nature. But you know, we sometimes have in the subconscious of our mind, it's amazing the things that are still there, isn't it? Now you think about this, and my grandmother was like this, and I've been associated with many people like this, as they sometimes dementia or Alzheimer's disease, and as we call it when I was a boy, harden of the arteries. And sometimes I've had some people in churches that have had been under anesthesia when they got elderly, and they never came out from under it. It just, and they couldn't remember who they were. They couldn't remember. But things that happened 50 years ago, they could remember. One of the hard things to do sometimes is forget some things, isn't it? Paul said, you got to forget. You know, if you're playing baseball and you're standing there and they throw the perfect pitch and it goes by and you thought, boy, I ought to hit that one. Well, if you dwell on that one, you're going to miss the next one too. Might as well forget that one and go on. You see, what you got to do, you got to forget the things that you hadn't done. You got to forget the things that you didn't do. That's what Paul said. I want to just forget those. He said, I can't go back. Sometimes it'd be good to go back, but we can't. Paul said, we might as well get that out of our mind this morning. He said, we want to forget that. Then he said, I'm going to reach forth. I'm going to reach out. I'm reaching forth. I'm headed for the goal. I've told you this before, and I want you to watch it. This, of course, if you'd like football, and you, this, of course, is going to be the season for our college football games. Many have already been played. But you watch a running back. He gets down toward the goal line. You know what he's doing? He's reaching out. He'll stick the ball out. He'll jump. He'll do everything he can to get in that end zone to break the plane. That's what Paul is saying. We got to reach out. Got to give it everything we got. We got to head for the goal this morning. So we need to head for the goal today. You know, I'd love to see our Sunday school grow. I'd love to see everybody here come to Sunday school. We got some great teachers, and this morning we need to utilize that and teach this morning. But the main thing I want us to do, we need to be everything that we can be for God. I'm not talking about gimmicks or gadgets. I'm not going to eat my lunch on top of the church if you get 100 people to come to Sunday school. Maybe 110, but I'm only joking. I'm not going to do that. That to me is a gimmick. That's just something that a gadget somebody might come up with. All I ask you to do is just give it everything you got for the Lord today. That's all I ask. Somebody said give 110%. You just give 100%. I'll be happy this morning. I think that's all the Lord asks of us, to do what we can. Just every day do our best for the Lord, to exalt him, to uplift him, just to let people know that Rocky Springs has a God in glory that we serve proudly, faithfully, and loyally this morning. And then a great proclamation. Paul wrote something in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter in the scripture. And he starts that chapter off with something that, to me, is very important. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have delivered in vain. Now listen to verse 3. Paul said, for I delivered unto you first of all how all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the third day according to the Scripture. Paul said in the book of Timothy that this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You read over in the book of Acts how that Paul, when he stood before Agrippa, and he simply gave his testimony of what God had done for him. And you know, this morning, I think that that's a great proclamation today, to tell people that Jesus Christ is our Savior. You see, the greatest theology really is your story today, your testimony. The other morning I was watching a little on television, and I don't remember what morning it was, and Bill Gaither had George Beverly Shea on his program, and it was about George Beverly Shea, and boy, what a marvelous voice he had. A lot of the songs, and I was sitting there, but in the entire hour program, I never heard one mention of how Christ came into his life. I don't know, I'm not saying he didn't, I'm just saying that I thought he missed a great opportunity to tell what God had done for him. You see, today, all of our talents won't save us. All of our money won't save us. Nothing we can do can save us but Jesus. And it doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter where we go. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, the greatest story that I could ever tell anybody is simply what Jesus did for me. Now think about that. Now, I've studied theology, and to say I passed it, I studied it, okay? And sometimes that stuff gets dry, but we have to know about doctrine and theology, and people ask us questions. I'm not, but you know, the greatest thing I could tell anybody today is what Jesus did for me. Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus saved today. That's the greatest proclamation I can tell this world today. I don't know anything else I could really tell them that'd be any greater today than that. Hey, I was lost, and Jesus came to me. I couldn't go to where he was. Thank God he came to me. I was like the prodigal son, boy. I was worse than the prodigal son, to be fair with you. I didn't head home to the Father. The Father had to come get me. But the greatest proclamation I can tell you this morning is Jesus Christ is my Savior. I was hell-bound and didn't care. But then I heard about Jesus. And he did something nobody else could do. I can't explain it to you. I can just tell you he did it. That's the greatest proclamation I can give. That's what Paul said. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received myself. Paul said, I got saved just like you did. Paul was saved just like I was. Every man that's ever going to be in heaven is going to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So all I can ask you to do today is, you know, Job said one time, he said, I wish I could speak eloquently. I wish I could do all of this. And, you know, sometimes we think about that. Maybe we could just speak so eloquently. But the simplest thing I can tell you today, if anybody asks you, just tell them what Jesus did for you. That's the greatest proclamation we could tell anybody in 2013 or any other year this morning. I want to have a greater passion for the Lord. I want to have this morning a greater purpose to serve Him more faithfully, more loyally in this next year. And I want to tell everybody what Jesus did for me. Well, this morning I ask you to join with me in this coming year and let us do for the Lord what we know he asks us to do. All right, if you'll stand together with me. Bruce, you and Mr. Reese would come. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you that you shed your blood that I could be freed from my sins. I thank you, dear Lord, today that you've given me the opportunity to tell people of what Jesus did for me. And Lord, I ask you this morning as we give forth this invitation, the Lord, today if there's one here that does not know Christ and the free pardon of sin, that today will be the day that he becomes their Savior. I ask you, Lord, as we go forth into this coming year, to give us a greater passion, a greater purpose, and let us issue a great proclamation of what Jesus Christ did for us. In his name I pray. Amen and amen.